Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp is here and has put together a terrific special report on the Senior Executive Service. Congratulations on this. It's terrifically done. We're how far through this? We have there are three parts to this, correct?
There are four parts,
okay,
and counting. So we'll have four stories. We're at number two today. And there will be some other things, such as we'll put a page where you can find all of the audio interviews if you just want to listen to people in their own words talk. So there'll be other web features to go along with this.
And that's where we are today. The feature that's on federalnewsradio.com right now is Why We Stay, SES in their own words. You chose five leaders of the Senior Executive Service, and they talk about why, despite the opportunities they would have to leave government and go to work for a contractor or someplace else in the private sector, they've chosen to stay, or in one case at least, why she was in government for a while, went to work for a contractor, and came back into the government despite the advantages, disadvantages therein. What prompted you to want to take a look at this in the first place, Emily?
There's been so much discussion about the Senior Executive Service, probably for almost as long as I've been around on this planet, since its inception. And it usually comes from those on the outside, perhaps people who have been SES members in the past, but who are no longer, or from political leaders and the like, or from think tanks and those with good intentions. But the voice that you don't hear so much about is of those people who are directly experiencing what it's like as a senior executive at this point in time. And we did these interviews in late 2014, early 2015, and this is an attempt to just say, here are five people who are living through this right now, and here are their stories. And this is what they have to say about the good and the bad and why they choose to stay when they could go elsewhere. They very much could take a job elsewhere, but right now they're staying put.
They're terrific conversations. David Bray, the Chief Information Officer at the Federal Communications Commission, Joe Ward, the Director of the Interior Business Center, Jerry Buchholz, the Chief Human Capital Officer at NASA, Eddie Ribas, the Chico at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and Barbara Sisson, the Assistant Chief of the Army Reserve. So you have a terrific selection diversity-wise. You have a very good breadth and depth of knowledge and experience and tenure in the federal government here. What did you take away from these interviews as you talked to each of these five folks? What themes did you see, or what commonalities in what they had to say about why they do what they do?
Well, first of all, to say we talked to these five. We talked to many more who, for whatever reasons, didn't feel comfortable sort of being the poster child for this story, right? So first of all these people are extremely generous with their story and extremely honest in saying, this is the life that I am living now, and it's not perfect, but there are some really good things. The commonalities are that they all felt like they wanted to be leaders, that they wanted to push themselves and challenge themselves to their professional fullest, and they thought that the SES was the way to do it. And another common thread, which is probably for most people in government, is that they thought that they could make this country a better place by doing this. And that's another reason why they stay, whereas, you know, if you take somebody like David Bray, the Chief Information Officer of the FCC, he's got the technical skills to go make a lot of more money in the private sector. Joe Ward, the Director of the Interior Business Center, had that life. And he talks about having to take a pay cut, but that pay wasn't really the most important thing. And that's why he's in government right now.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite quote in the piece that you have online today is from Eddie Ribas. And it explains this whole issue that we've talked about a lot on this program and on this station about why people are hesitant to go into the SES. It kind of is the reverse of that poll, that survey that you ran, that was very troubling, very striking, in that so many employees who are currently in the SES wouldn't do it again if they had it to do over. But I think Mr. Ribas gets right at the core of the appeal of the Senior Executive Service. He says, as a GS-15, you're carrying out someone else's vision. As an SES, you're providing the vision. And wow, that's there's a lot of impact there about what it really means to be one of these 7,000 and some senior executives in government.
There's a lot of risk. There's a lot of potential reward. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it for more than yourself, because it is just a lot of work. I mean, all these people say that they work on average 60 hours a week, but have had times when they're the equivalent of sleeping on the office sofa, uh-huh. you know, and working on the weekends and the like. If you take Barbara Sisson, she's now on her sixth SES position as Assistant Chief of the Army Reserve. She's been the sort of quintessential SES member, where she's actually moved around from department to department for different SES jobs. Also from place to place, she was in Florida and Texas. And at times, she took positions away from her family. And she has four kids now who are much older. But that was, you know, that was a sacrifice that she thought that she wanted to make. And her husband was very supportive, because she felt like she could give to her country and also challenge herself in a way that she found very fulfilling.
Your conversation with Jerry Buchholz addresses that risk. Jerry says, you write, it's easier to fire or discipline SES members, but Buchholz says she's confident in her abilities. She accepts that criticism from Congress leaders and the workforce is part of the job, but newer SES members often are caught off guard by that. And it can be, I imagine, a pretty shocking transition for somebody who was used to not being the person, as we heard Mr. Ribas talk about. When you're the person, that means you're the one that people come to when they want to shoot arrows, as well as when they want to pat you on the back.
Yeah, there's good and bad. And as we know here, and our listeners know, because we talk so much about what Congress has done or might do, there's a lack of the job protections that you have in the general schedule. So many people, including Jerry Buchholz, came up through the GS ranks, got to GS-15, and they were willing to give up some job protections. And in some cases, they even have to give up pay to join the SES. So there are definitely substantial trade-offs. I think that the person who decides to do that really is motivated by this deeper urge to see if they can carry out their own vision, as Eddie Ribas said, but not just because you're not just your vision for the agency, but your vision for how you see yourself as a professional and what you're able to accomplish.
Part one of your special report was based around that survey that I mentioned a moment ago, and it was titled, "This Used to Be an Honor, Now It's a Joke." Some of the negative impressions and ramifications of the senior executive service. And that's linked at the bottom of your newest installment in this special report, part two, Why We Stay SES, in their own words, our top story on federalnewsradio.com. And the third part is called Fixing the SES. That's coming next week. What can we expect to see there?
Well, that's actually the title of the whole series.
I see.
The whole bundle is Fixing the SES. And if you want to, on Twitter, it's hashtag FixSES,
okay,
for short. Next week, we are going to take a look at some of the specifics that we haven't gotten into really in depth, but some of the challenges that people from both outside and inside the SES talk about. One is accountability. Our SES members, are they being penalized enough when things go wrong? Some in Congress would say no. And the flip side of that is, are they being rewarded enough when things go right? Are we rewarding the right types of behaviors? And we talked a little bit about that in last week's version, but we'll get more in depth into that. We'll also look at some of the other challenges, such as the pay issue, that a lot of these people, including Joe Ward of the Interior Business Center, the one who took a pay cut because he came from the private sector, he said, you know, I'm eventually going to go back to the private sector and I'm going to make up the difference in my salary. But that's something I think that a lot of people who leave, and the Office of Personnel Management has found this, a lot of people who leave the SES, they leave for work elsewhere. They don't leave just to retire and go golfing. They've got their eye on other things. And I think the government wants to figure out a way to hold them and keep them here.